Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb,
bomb, bomb. Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Ram-a-lama, ding-dong, rock and roll is king.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Hines, and welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich should have blasted myself. Same old jokes, even worse than Fred. Man, don't know dick, makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Sucking up to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now, throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mads, brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, a brother close to me.
Puckhead.
And that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on, come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah, tell him, T, tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T, give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T, out.
Take that, 98 Mile.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Well, hello there. Good morning. 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Town Fair Tire Studio. A little kick in the ass to get up this morning after that. I don't know how many people had the wind blowing and knocking crap around all night last night. I know mostly it was in the afternoon, but it lasted here for a while, and I've seen the stuff on television. Jay Stu posted a video, I guess it was kind of near where he was, where there was just that gigantic tree that got uprooted right in front of him. And is power still out in a lot of places? I know that yesterday Everett got hit. Is the power back up?
So Rich was, I think, 50,000 out of, late last night there was like 150,000. So they're making progress, but there's still a significant number of people that don't have power.
Okay. I still think that from what I've heard, it's better than what they expected as far as the speed of, you're right, getting this stuff back up. Because they were saying that like 10% of the state could possibly be out for 72 hours. And I know there's going to be a few people who are, but I mean, if the fact that they got 100,000 people, as you said, up and running, or I'm sorry, 50,000. Did you say there? How many people?
I think it's still as of earlier this morning, 50,000 customers without power.
Okay. As many as 150,000 at its peak, and it's just blind luck, honestly. If you had power all the way through, I mean, I was reading texts from buddies, friends of mine who live in East Cambridge. They were out quickly yesterday, and the town, two towns south of me, and Jimmy lives two towns west of me, they lost power also, and somehow my town kept it. It's a coin flip if you kept it as opposed to not keeping it.
Well, I mean, have you ever been in a situation where the neighborhood next to yours has no power but yours does? It's just a matter of the grid you're on. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that happens a decent amount, but I mean, I guess that
I mean, the damage was pretty bad. There was a person that they had on the news this morning where a tree went, like, it was this 80-year-old woman. The tree split her house in half.
Yep.
It just went straight through the middle of it. And there's a picture that's going around the internet from, obviously, in the South where they got hit really hard, of a tree, of a house, rather, that was picked up and landed in the middle of a road. Like, it's taking up the entire road. This house just dropped almost like the Wizard of Oz, just boom, lifted it. And the thing is, the house looks almost structurally sound. Like it just fell and boom, almost like a shoebox is just sitting blocking this road. So hopefully everyone's okay. That's got to suck. I can't imagine what it's like, you know, having to be one of these people who's repairing these lines, especially in the middle of a, you know, the epidemic like this. They don't want you to go out anyway, but I mean, God knows you're doing everyone a service, getting everyone's electricity up back and going. John, I don't know about you, but oh, by the way, Fred is out this morning. He is sick. I'm getting a little nervous because my entertainment for a sportless world, a lot of it's about to come to an end. Lego Masters, the final episode airs tonight. I'm sorry, tomorrow night, right?
Tomorrow night.
That's right. The finale. The big
finale.
They did kind of a one for on us. They ended up keeping everybody from last week. It's a three-team
finale. It was
finale.
Last week's episode was a complete waste of time. There was no reason to hold that episode at all if they were going to keep everybody. I don't get
it. Dude, it was the Star Wars episode. It was the best episode so far.
Why not make the Star Wars episode the finale?
Because you can't do that. You actually, because you can't, like, kick people off while R2-D2's standing next to you. You can't, like, besmirch the Lucasfilm name and make it look like, you know, C-3PO's a dick. Because if he's standing there, it's like, well, C-3PO, I blame you for sending me home and losing my $10,000 grand prize, which everyone knows that married couple's going to win anyway.
That's not true. Mark and Boone are going to win this thing. I don't know what you're looking at.
No, they're setting them up to be the god figures because they're having a baby and they're using it to end up, you know, paying for, like, a new baby's room and all that stuff.
No. They already got the trip to Legoland in New York. They're fine.
Not going to open for another year now because construction's
they didn't know
up.
That at the time.
Yeah. On top of that, you've got Better Call Saul, which is one of the few great things on TV right now, and there's only one more episode of that, and that, when that's over, then it's like your remote goes to no man's land.
Yeah,
like you got to go to True TV and Dr. Pimple Popper. Like, when the All Stars are all done and over with, we're gonna hit like a Great Depression. I found myself watching the Back to the Future trilogy because my kids hadn't seen it, and like I hadn't seen. First of all, I've seen the first one a million times. I've seen the second one a few times, and I'd only seen the third one once. You know what aren't good movies? Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Both 2 and 3 are awful. Third one especially is really bad.
Okay, so they just interjected in the middle of nowhere this storyline like that wasn't anywhere in the first one, that if you called Michael J. Fox chicken, that he went nuts. Like, there was the only way to advance the plot in the second and third one is to throw in some inexplicable storyline that wasn't even mentioned in the first one, in order to just make the plot move along. So that sucked. You know, Crispin Glover, apparently, the dad, by the way, was excellent in the first one. Oh, one of the all-time great weird actors. Don't Google what he's been up to, because it's some pretty weird stuff. I think he made, like, music for the Satanic Church for a while. He is a strange cat. But he, like, refused to be in the second and third one because he didn't like the way it was going to end. And I guess he was right.
Smart man.
So him and Robert Zemeckis got in this big fight, and apparently he sued them because they used a mask that looked like him to finish the second and third movie. If you watch, he's in scenes, but he's like in the background, so it's kind of blurry. So they used his likeness, and he ended up suing the movie studio and won a ton of money. And I guess that set this precedent that you're no longer allowed to use the likeness of somebody without their permission or paying them. So it was like this huge benchmark Hollywood lawsuit that because he sued their pants off, they were able to win. So if Crispin Glover doesn't like the way your movie ends, you should have taken a note. A guy who's making music for the Satanic Church now had better taste in how that was going to end than Steven Spielberg and Robert Zemeckis.
Two things. First of all, I think Crispin Glover touched the sun when he attacked David Letterman on Late Night. That was one. I thought that was very funny, and he was never funny and never really good after that. And the other part of it is...
Oh, don't say that. You haven't seen Lost Highway. He was awesome. He was Jingle Dell. He was the guy who made like 1,000 peanut butter jelly sandwiches. And when the woman came downstairs in the middle of the night, and she said, "What are you doing?" And he just looked at her and went, "I'm making my lunch!" And that's the only scene he's in.
I saw a movie called, remember River's Edge with Keanu Reeves? Remember that terrible movie, River's Edge?
You know what? I remember being on HBO, but I remember never watching it.
It was awful. I was just going to say it was awful. Don't bother. But I actually read an oral history of the making of Back to the Future 2 and 3. Believe it or not, this is like 10, 15 years ago. They apparently filmed both of them at the same time, and even the actors had no idea what the plot line was going to be. Dude, while they were filming it.
Back to the Future 2 has the worst ending. The ending is a trailer for Back to the Future 3.
Correct.
Like, they show a trailer with scenes from Back to the Future 3
yep.
at the end of Back to the Future 2. I'm like, this is like ghetto even for like a TV show. Like, yep. why would you possibly do that in a movie? And I remember, like, the first, like, that I think Back to the Future 2 came out at, like, Christmas, and 3 was, like, 5 months later, and you're like, dude, this is just, the whole thing was weird. That is one of the, I mean, the first one is epic, amazing. It's almost a perfect movie. And then they just those other two, they don't even call it a trilogy. The second and third one really sucked. And it's weird. It just took years later, me being bored in a coronavirus, like, fog of having to sit and not watch sports that made me realize that. So there you go. Back to the Future, the controversial opinion. Back to the Future, an overrated trilogy. After the first one, right in the toilet. All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. On top of that, we have a very special entry into our bracket at 8 o'clock. There was a local person who passed away, and we're dedicating it to them. We will get to that. Also, we've got Phil Perry, new father Phil Perry. He'll be on with us at 7:20 talking about the upcoming draft, as well as Will Brinson. And speaking of controversy, he went on Twitter yesterday to say that Better Call Saul, a better product than Breaking Bad. As much as I like Better Call Saul, he is not correct about that. And we will get to everything Bill Belichick said and didn't say right after this.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
Then the wrench. Then the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
Tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And yesterday, Bill Belichick did his yearly conference call with the press leading up to the draft. Except this year, there was a somewhat bigger story that needed answers. Tom Brady, and boy, did Bill Belichick spill the beans.
Yeah, at the start of free agency, I made a statement about Tom. It would be, of course, impossible to sum up everything Tom did in 20 years into a comment then or now. But I meant everything I said about him, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him for years and decades to come. You know, right now, we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Please refer to the statement that I made.
Yeah.
On paper, I knew. I mean, listen, anyone who was covered Bill Belichick for a minute could have scripted exactly how that was going to go. Yep, it's like we're going to talk about the players that are on the team. So that's all you're going to get about Tom Brady. But then again, you know, what were you expecting? So now that Brady is gone, Belichick was asked, how does Brady's absence affect his entire method of drafting?
Over the last two decades, everything we did, every single decision we made in terms of major planning was, you know, made with the idea how to make things best for Tom Brady. Now, that being said, you know, we've had several situations where we had to play and we knew Tom wasn't going to be the quarterback. So that would go back to Castle and Jimmy and Jacoby and situations like that. And so in those situations, now they were in season, although Matt Castle's situation ended up being for 15 games. But whatever those situations were, we adapted what we had to the player and try to, once we, Cass will be a good example. You know, we geared everything towards, you know, doing what was best for him, just like we always geared everything for doing what was best for Tom and to help our offense there. So I don't really see that changing. Whoever the quarterback is, will try to make it as smoothly and efficiently for that player.
Bill Belichick, you've got mail, whatever that AOL messenger thing was in the background that was going off. Dan just made a funny point, by the way. He said Belichick couldn't stop gushing about Matt Castle after he traded him.
No, Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy G.
I'm sorry, not Matt Castle. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
He went on for – and he started the press conference that way. Like he looked at Stacey and he was like, I got this. And he made this statement about Jimmy G that just went on and on and on, what a great person he is and what they're getting from him and all of that. And I just thought that was a little surprising because he refuses to say anything, you know, about Brady.
I mean, listen, in fairness, Bill Belichick didn't come across as a dick yesterday. I mean, no. he sounded like, you know, listen,
sounded
I just
like
don't.
Bill.
Yeah, well, actually, he even sounded like a little more like pleasant than normal, but he also wasn't going to dwell on Tom Brady and did not want to, you know, answer a lot of the questions that were, I mean, I knew it was going to be just refer to the statement, but you're right, Dan. I mean, maybe we can pull some of that audio from back then because I had completely forgotten about just how much he gushed about Jimmy Garoppolo after that happened.
Are you surprised considering the Seth Wickersham article? I mean, Seth Wickersham basically has been proven to be right as we get further and further away from the article itself. I mean, Belichick wanted Garoppolo. He drafted Garoppolo to be Brady's replacement. He loved him. He spent a high draft pick on him. And then Brady blew the plane to hell because he was still good into his 40s, something Belichick never expected. So doesn't really surprise me at all. And one other thing, I think Belichick's wrong when he said everything he did in the last 20 years was to make Tom Brady better. How many years did we wonder about offensive line help? How many years did we wonder about all the weapons or the lack thereof that the Patriots gave him? I mean, when Castle stepped in, he had Welker and Randy Moss to throw the football to. I think situations were a little different. I think Belichick relied on the fact that Brady would be able to do well regardless of the weapons that he put around him. I don't think the previous statement is true at all.
You know what I got from yesterday? I got that he is reinvigorated and excited about having a new quarterback.
Yes, I would agree.
That's like he sounded like there was an excitement in his voice whenever they brought up Jared Stidham, and I think that this is, I mean, he realizes, you know, the same way that Tom Brady was talking about sometimes you have to change your environment. I think it's the exact same thing with Belichick right now. He's looking at this and he's like, oh, what are the things that I can do with him that I might not have been able to do with Brady? He's busting out old manuals and blowing the dust off of it, like the never ending story, so he can open it up with all these old plays that he hasn't been able to bust out for 20 years. And Ernie Adams is there getting scrolls off the shelves and, oh, you know, the things that they've written down, like, you know, from monks in football, monks in years past. Here's like these plays we've had for years. Finally, Stidham's the guy that can do this. And to me, I kind of like that Belichick. And I think, and I might have said this earlier or the other day, I think you're going to see the happiest Bill Belichick's been in a while. I think it's more just because he's got this. It's almost like a mental challenge for him, and I think he just loves being challenged in that way. And especially if he starts – listen, if he continues to lose, it's obviously going to be tough.
I was just going to say, if they go 7-9, Rich, I don't think he's going to be very happy.
I don't think they will, though. I think this team is too good defensively. I think that he's too good of a coach, and I think that this division is weak enough where they're still going to be successful. They might not make a bang in the playoffs, but they're going to be over 500. I don't think anybody doubts that they're going to be over 500. But, I mean, unless Stidham is an absolute bust. Like, unless
that's
he's awful. But let's say he's, like, what's his name up in Buffalo. I still think that you're an over 500 team.
If he can run like Josh Allen, then yeah, they probably will. That's true.
Okay. I mean, Josh Allen gets this reputation of being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Let's say Stidham ends up being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, bottom six or seven. I still think it's tough for this team to not have a 500 record. And I
defense is going to have to be as good as it was last year to pull that off.
Pretty damn good. I mean, just that secondary alone, that'll keep him in a bunch of games. But the biggest challenge this year for old jeans-wearing Bill might not even be a personnel issue, but
a matter of figuring out how to use all this damn technology during a virtual draft. After all, this is a guy who has said he doesn't use MyFace or FaceSpace and whatever he's trying to be folksy about. So how is he going to handle Zoom?
In terms of the draft, you know, it's a little bit different logistically over the last month from where we've been in the past. As usual, Nick Casario and his staff have done a great job of putting things in order, assembling information. Still have some work to do in that area in terms of just seeing exactly, you know, how everything's going to function. I think we've talked about it and have an idea, but we'll actually I'd put it into place early next week and just see exactly how it's going to go. But I'm sure that it's all well thought out and organized from a league standpoint, and, you know, we'll just do our part when we're involved in the process.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have his dial-up modem ready to go.
Yeah.
There's no way that you're going to have a video on him during the draft. There's no way he would allow it. But how funny would it be if they did? I mean, he's going to be the old grandmother on the Easter Zoom whose face is like taking up the entire square, like trying to find the unmute button and the mute button. He's going to be as confused as it gets with this brand new technology. It should be a joy if you're able to see it, but you're
yeah. It has to be Rich. Who else are they going to focus on when it's the Patriots pick?
Oh, they'll put like Casario up there or something like that. Like
no, no, it's Bill with the Bon Jovi bookcase. I'm telling you, we're going to get a good view of that.
That would be nice. It is a chance to plug his friend. That is true. But now listen, even if Belichick is hot for Stids. And Ernie Adams, he's got Stidham fever. It still seems more than likely that the Patriots will pick a quarterback at some point during the draft. But could they do it in the very first round? A, quote, rival GM told Peter King that the Patriots, quote, love Justin Herbert.
It's not clear,
however. Listen. King's got the man boobs, and he's got the shakedown and all the deets on what's going on behind the scenes.
Awful.
Okay,
please,
he said
no.
That. They love him. It's not clear, however, what they would be willing to give up to trade up to him, which they would definitely have to give up a decent amount. As a matter of fact, speculation is that it would likely cost New England a 2021 first-round selection at the very least.
God.
So, to say that to the GM, who, by the way, predicts that, I would just tell him that trading up totally sounds like a Bill Belichick move
right?
If you were someone who's never, ever seen Bill Belichick draft before.
I mean, these are unprecedented times, Rich.
I guess they cause for unprecedented moves, seeing that he's going to trade up for...
No.
What do you think about this, about Justin Herbert anyway? And I know that Mike Lockhart is Mr. Draft over there.
Mike and I are of the same mind. We've actually discussed this before. Justin Herbert is not a very good quarterback. And he wasn't very good in the Pac-12 title game. He wasn't very good. He was even worse in the bowl game. He had 3 rushing touchdowns, but, I mean, he was horrible throwing the football, really. Didn't throw the football a lot either. And I, honestly, if you have to give up a first-round draft pick next year to move up to get this guy, I mean, that's a hell of a risk. I wouldn't take him at all. I never liked him in college at all. You look at his numbers, and his numbers are fantastic, but he beat up on a Pac-12 conference that, to my understanding, wasn't very good. And the two really hard teams they played, Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, and I think it was Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, he wasn't very good at all. I don't want him.
Where is he projected to go right now?
In the top 10.
Yeah, I'm trying to – what team is – because I know that obviously there's – the 201's interesting because you don't know whether he's – what's that, Dan? I'm sorry, are you saying San Diego is where he's predicted
to
go?
Sorry, the LA Chargers, not the San Diego, yes.
Okay, yeah, of course, the Chargers. Yeah. By the way, I'm seeing Tua falling to the Raiders in a few places. I watched Bert yesterday. He did an interview with someone on CBS, and it was actually interesting. He apparently did a story about how Miami has done like the type of research you do when you're doing a criminal investigation on Tua.
Yeah.
There's no stone unturned. Nothing that's been uncovered on this guy because they just want to make sure that this guy is not a bust.
Well,
and there's such
the
huge potential for it.
Here's the problem, Rich. I mean, first off, the question was, is Tua healthy now, coming off that big hip injury? And now it seems, by all accounts, he's perfectly healthy now. That independent doctor somehow, they managed a physical when you weren't supposed to have physicals. Apparently, he's fine now. But that only solves half the problem. The question is he going to be healthy moving forward, considering all the injuries he just had in the last 3 years? So that is another huge gamble for any team to take in the top 10. And if you read a lot of mock drafts now, they have Miami preferring Herbert over Tua. And a big risk all the way around. But the bigger question, Rich, is let's say his medicals force him to fall out of the top 10. Let's say he gets by the Raiders, and all of a sudden he's sitting there at 13 or 14. If you're the Patriots, do you trade up 9 spots or whatever it is to get that guy?
It depends on what it costs you. I mean, first of all, he's not going to. There's always a team that takes a shot on a guy like that. I just think that there's too much talk and there's too much potential for this guy to be. I mean, you heard Nick Saban yesterday. He's obviously trying to pump up Tua a lot, but, I mean, he's going off on it. And a lot of these guys worship the altar that Nick Saban walks on. I mean, they take his word as gospel. Even like, you know, Bill Belichick, who says he talks to Saban, yeah. But he's had a bunch of guys that hadn't worked out that, you know, that obviously he's praised before. I thought that was one of the funnier parts of the documentary. And Saban's like, all the people have to do is ask me. Bill Belichick he's the one who asked me about these guys. But he, involuntarily went and, praised Tua. He obviously wants to help this guy out. There's no way with this much heat he's going to fall out of the top 10. And there's also enough teams that want a quarterback in the top 10. So to see him fall would be a massive shock. Massive shock. I just don't see it happening. And you're right, the Raiders would be a team that they'd probably take him if... You don't think that Gruden would love getting his hands on this young buck Tua Tagovailoa? Get over here, there. Yeah. Let me hit you with a noodle, there, you young buck. I love you. I can't see him falling out of the top 10. All right, we have more details on how this weird ass draft is going to look on television. On top of that, brand new poll that just came out. Are fans going to be ready for the NFL once the NFL returns? Do you feel prepared to go into a crowd full of 70,000 people this coming September? We'll get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I laughed about that all day yesterday.
Oh, that is my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing on the internet. Like, I mean, you know, in these tough times, it's obviously everyone needs something to keep them smiling, and nothing better than that dude who just makes 5-second videos of him walking into Walmart, grabbing the phone, and farting into the PA speaker for everyone to hear. And then, of course, it's the greatest thing on the internet, because that's all he does. And each clip is maybe, as I said, no more than 10 seconds long. There's no setup, just grabs the phone, and everyone kind of looks up at the speakers, and then it's done. So there you go. If you're looking for something to... I want all of them. Like, and the thing is, they're never like on like one site. Like, it's just they're all randomly all over the place. I just by looking at who's writing them, I don't know if the guy is from Kentucky or if he's from Spain, because there's some of them written in Spanish and some of them like, you know, lead you to the site in Kentucky. I don't know where he's from, but the guy is gifted, and I mean that's pretty fantastic. So by the way, it's a pretty damn loud speaker. So congrats to the people at Walmart. Yeah, it does sound like an empty store there, too. It's like the walls are just echoing around.
That's true.
Well, the league yesterday gave us some info on what this fully virtual draft is going to look like. Probably like something from the future.
Well, in order to limit confusion amongst the talking heads, ESPN and the NFL Network will team to offer a singular presentation, while ABC will present its own primetime telecast for rounds 1 through 3, in addition to simulcasting the ESPN and NFL Network telecast of rounds 4 through 7. The teams are going to be making their picks from remote locations, but the telecast will be handled out of ESPN studios at its headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut. Now, TV hosts and some analysts will broadcast from the studio, while others, including reporters and commentators, will work remotely, which really got me thinking. Why couldn't they have had someone in the studio during that unspeakably bad horse tournament?
Yeah.
Because the guy with the worst internet connection was the host.
Mark Jones. Yeah.
Was that his name? I just knew he was Smiley Magoo with a Matt Barnes t-shirt on
Mark Jones.
In the background.
He's been with ESPN for, 20 years in a lot of various roles. But Mark Jones.
He's got a nice smile because that's basically all he did. He's like, hey, this is great. Horse.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. The 2 seconds it took to get his background together, he literally put a Matt Barnes t-shirt on a hanger and hung it next to a Dwayne Wade t-shirt. And as you said, John, these aren't jerseys. These are t-shirts and hung them on a wall behind him.
Yeah, these are things you win at a country fair is what they are. Yeah.
Right, of course. And it went so well, too.
So we're going to let you call the coin toss while it's in the air, okay? Call it in 3 seconds, okay? In 3, 2, 1.
Heads.
It's tails. So tails.
Never fair.
You get to shoot first.
So it's tails. Come on.
Call your shot. Man. Yeah, you got to call your shot.
All right, we're gonna start this one now with a free throw.
I mean, dude, it was just. Why couldn't they have at least had? Because think about it. Like, if you would have just had the host in a studio, that would have made the broadcast at least 7 or 8% less unbearable. It was like everyone was on Netscape Navigator during the entire thing.
The discrepancy between the courts, I still can't get over that. Now, Chauncey Billups has made over $100 million in his career. He can afford to have the custom court. Paul Pierce can afford to have the custom court. And, Zach LaVine has, batting cages and, artificial turf so he can practice and work out. And, I don't know, he's skeet shooting back there in the wilds of, Washington State. But, I mean, to have Trae Young, who is an all-star, shooting from his parents' driveway where he can't back up more than 20 feet is an abomination. And you have Allie Quigley, and I saw Allie Quigley. She's like in a cobblestone driveway where they had to draw out the lane with chalk. And her wife is like filming her, walk around and do bank shots and stuff from like 15 feet away because she can't go back any further. She'll wind up in the garden next to the house.
Here's how you knew the entire thing was going to suck. It wasn't just because of the bad internet connection for everyone. I mean, that was obviously made it like the Blair Witch Project on TV. It was when the first shot from Trae Young, the very first shot of the whole thing, was a left-handed free throw shot that wasn't a free throw shot. It was from about, 6 feet because he didn't have a big enough driveway. Like, that's his, free throw line. If you did everything to scale to where half court would be in the back of the garage door. But, I mean, it was they've got to make a change for Thursday because Thursday night they're going to do the finale of it. And it's 2 hours long. And Dan makes a good point. Get Rachel Nichols on there from the studio because if anyone can polish this turd, it's the chemistry that she has with all of
these
players.
She's with all of them. That's true. I mean, not so much maybe she's at home or whatever, but, Mike made a point here in the control room. Get somebody back at the studio. Make it out of Bristol. Look somewhat professional. I know you can't have, film crews go out on the road to each one of these houses and all of that, but just a little bit more.
That's what I said. But have one person, the host, in the studio. Scott Van Pelt every night. There's one guy at the studio and have one person there. And, everyone's protected. You're not going to get any crap because all of these stations have at least, and the draft is going to have. That's exactly what they're going to do because that makes it somewhat, it's a breakup between all the gurgly audio and video and having somebody who's able to just, it sounds good and it looks all right. And you're right, with Rachel Nichols, it'd be perfect. But I mean, that was just, it will go down. Can you imagine if that aired and it wasn't during the quarantine? It would be known as the worst product ever put on television.
Well, think about it now.
ESPN's
under the gun. I mean, really, they wanted everyone to watch them on Sunday night. Congratulations, you got a lot of people to watch you, and it was horrible. So now they have 4 days to fix this thing. And if they come out Thursday night and it's the exact same thing, that's shameful. Shameful that they left it alone.
I mean, the fact that there would be shots that would go up and the ball would freeze from the gurgle in the internet connection. And then when it unfroze, the ball would be bouncing on the ground. So you don't know if you made it or not. And you would just have to take the guy's word. Oh, wow. That was an amazing shot you just took there. Way to go. And like, they should have like given these guys ideas for interesting shots. Cause as I was saying, like the go-to shot for Trae Young was a left-handed free throw. Like, I don't want to see that. I mean, dude, we had way more competitive games when I was a kid, like playing in the group. I mean, we had 17 steps you had to go through. Bounce on one leg, twist backwards over the backboard. Like, you know, and you had to do it Ollie style from Hoosiers, like underneath your legs. So it was awesomely awful, and hopefully it stays that way, because to be quite honest, it was so bad it was. And the fact that Paul Pierce just stopped trying was great. He was the ultimate retired fat guy. I loved it.
There really needs to be a rule that you can't wear a vest while you play.
You know? His kid's just walking around. He don't care. Yeah. He's not telling him to get out. He's just like, yeah, man, you can play basketball while I'm doing this for television.
Yeah, no vests, no capri pants. You actually have to try.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic. So Trey Wingo, he will be in studio. He's going to host all 3 days of the draft on the ESPN and NFL Network, while Reese Davis, Jesse Palmer, Maria Taylor are going to lead ABC's coverage. Roger Goodell, as you've been saying, John, introducing the picks from his home, at least for the first round. But where the NFL might be ready for the draft is the country ready for the NFL. So according to a poll from Seton Hall, Americans offered mixed opinions when they were asked whether the NFL season should start on time. What they found was that a little less than half of the respondents indicated that it shouldn't. By a 46% to 36% margin, the people who were polled do not think the NFL should open the season on time, with 18% having no opinion. This poll was conducted by Seton Hall. A wider margin, 77% to 20%, expressed support for delaying the start of the football season in the event that college and NFL players would not have sufficient time to get in shape as compared to years past. Now, the NFL has delayed the start of its off-season workout program while it tries to figure out a plan with the Players Association on how to move ahead with this whole thing. Now, normally April 6th would have signaled the start of like a 9-week off-season workout program for like teams with new coaches. There's a couple other exceptions. But for other teams, it would have started on April 20th. So the league, they're right now talking about possible revisions to the off-season workout program that would permit teams to have like classroom instructions, basically teaching your players the plays on Zoom. Non-football educational programs on a virtual basis. I don't see why you can't go ahead and do that.
Well, there's an agreement. I mean, that's the thing. The players and the league have agreed that starting next week, April 20th, that's how it's going to happen. It's going to be virtual online instruction. As a matter of fact, until further notice, everything is going to be online. You know, we're off-season workouts will be online, and, you know, technically, these are voluntary workouts, with the exception of mandatory minicamp, which I think is in June, in the middle of June. So technically, you don't necessarily have to do it, although it is highly encouraged that you do participate. But apparently for the next month, at least until the middle of May, everything is going to be online, and that's an agreement between the NFL and the union.
All right. John, Dan, what's it going to take for you to feel comfortable going to a live sporting event again?
Oh, boy. Yeah, like a concert or a game. You know what? It's going to
space. Be a while.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, and there's going to have to be space. I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, you've seen what's happening just in the last couple of weeks. It's going to be difficult to ramp back the other way, to swing that pendulum and be like, all right, I'm completely fine with this. I want to get outside. I want things to come back to somewhat normalcy, but I don't know if that's going to come back.
I need the back of the bell curve to be flat, and I need it to be flat for at least a month before I even think about it.
See, I wonder if, let's say, a place like Gillette Stadium sold a third of the tickets for a game, to where it would be you, two seats, another person, two seats. Basically, two out of the three people that would normally sit there aren't going to be there. Would you feel safe going to a game?
Nope, because you're still going to the bathroom. You're still in line for concessions. It's impossible to avoid other people.
It's almost like, I mean, we'll know how we feel closer to when it happens. But right now, like, the easy answer is, I don't know if I want to go to a full stadium full of people until there's a vaccine.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's, like I'm sure my feelings will change the closer that we get to things, and maybe it will have to do with everyone being tested and knowing who has it and who doesn't, and that being a better indicator, and maybe having thermal testing as you walk into the stadium might alleviate the suspicions, even though there can be people who are asymptomatic and still have it. I don't know, man. That's the weirdest thing, and that's what all of these leagues are grappling with right now.
And you know what, Rich? I've become, I guess, maybe it's just because of age, I've become more of a fan of it on the televised portion of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see some of that come back.
Yeah.
The in-person stuff, that's going to take a little bit longer. And, you know, maybe the antibodies and like you said, a vaccine, you know, something along those lines that can sort of give you a little bit more confidence, a little bit more reassurance.
All right. Well, we'll get to what one player says about the prediction of the NHL returning. It makes a fairly interesting point. We'll do that right after this.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
Oh, this guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
It is Toucher and Rich. And we were just talking about the startup of live sports again. Did you see that they've got the robots now there in Taiwan? The robots in the baseball, in the crowd for the baseball games? I think it's like the, what is the, oh, I forget what team it is, the Rakuten something or whatever. They've got this weird, creepy crowd that they've tried to put out there that has robots that cheer for you and play the drums. That sounds awful and terrifying and something from a really bad futuristic movie about a plague or an infection poisoning the entire globe. So just don't do that, please. It's unsettling. And there's pictures and videos of it all over the place. I'm not a big fan of it. But as we're talking about the startup of live sports again, it is tough to think that right now we'd be playing right in the thick of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. As a matter of fact, game one of the NBA playoffs would be right about now, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So. Yep. Maybe, you know, it stinks because right about now we'd possibly be angering another city like Charlotte because the reporters sound like Hicks or something like that. It would have been a lot of fun.
Honestly, Rich, they played game seven, the Bruins and Vancouver over the weekend on NBC, and I just sat there and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. I miss the NHL playoffs so much. I really do.
Well, especially this year would have been great. And Dan's just telling me the Celtics final home game would have been tomorrow night. So
okay. We're
sniffing right around.
Final
would have been right around
game
the corner
as well, yeah.
Yep. So the Kings defenseman Drew Doughty was being interviewed yesterday, and he isn't really sure how the NHL can resume the current season the way everything outside of hockey has been shaking out.
I don't see how the season is going to return. I really don't. We have no idea when this virus is going to be over. You know, we're all kind of just sitting at home, you know, obviously hoping to return to the season or hope to watch the playoffs return. You know, we're just kind of sitting here waiting, working out, getting ready to hopefully returning at any point. So I would think the NHL or whoever would make the decision would have to make some kind of decision on that soon. And it seems like it's going to be pretty tough to return.
You know, the NHL's trying. Like all of these leagues, I mean, they obviously don't want to lose out on all this money. And the players want to play. But there was a proposal that I think just yesterday was thrown out there, and that was starting next season in November so they could move back the playoffs till late in the summer. And Doughty was asked about that, and he said, as much as I could mentally be in game mode, your body's just not ready for it if you don't get a full off season of training. He said if you don't get to play a long training camp with like 7 exhibition games, if you only get 1 week of training camp with a couple exhibition games, you're going to ruin your body. So, unfortunately, here's why I think he may be right. You know, of all the sports, the clock is ticking on hockey the fastest. First of all, it's playoff season right now. It's the season that ends the earliest. On top of that, unlike basketball, the physical toll that the game of hockey puts on players is so severe that asking them to do anything similar to what the NBA is proposing doing, and that's playing games with no days in between, is not only unrealistic, but it seems like something that the players' union would never agree to. I mean, well, it just seems inhumane to have them play with almost no breaks, the way that the NBA is thinking about doing it.
The other part of it is, Rich, and the plan that the NHL is thinking about, and this is a report from Pierre LeBrun from last night, is that you play the playoffs. Suppose you're able to come back by late May, early June, whatever the case may be. You play deep into the summer, and then you push back opening night for the NHL season into November, which is about a month. And then you play all the way through, no all-star break, no bye weeks for teams until late June of the next year. Can you imagine how beat up players will be? Yeah. You mentioned the physical toll. NHL players need that bye week. They need the all-star break. They need that built-in period of time where mentally they know they're going to get a 5 or 6 day rest. You take that away from them, I really hate to see what the brand of hockey is when we get to March or April of next year.
How about just shorten next season? I mean, start it late, shorten the season. I mean, keep everyone happy, keep everyone safe more than anything.
Here's
and I know
the problem.
That's less money for the leagues, and I know that there's like all of these things like...
Wait, that's the problem. The NHL, more than any other league, cannot afford to lose any kind of money.
But I know, but it's one of those things where you're putting players' health at risk by doing that. But I think the main reason that I, unfortunately, and listen, everything could change, and I hope it does, but the main reason I believe that there just won't be time for a hockey postseason is that China, who shut down their country almost 2 months before the United States, they have yet to resume their sports events. I mean, there was that one thing in Taiwan, but in China, where they have these, you know, matter of fact, they kind of had a false start about 2 weeks ago for the basketball league there, but remember they called it off again because they got nervous?
Yeah.
So they're still not going yet, and they're 2 months ahead of us. I mean, Disneyland Shanghai, still closed. I mean, they they're keeping away, which, by the way, Dan Roach, very upset about. He's, you know, 'cause with Shanghai opens back up into the world, you know, then maybe Orlando, you can go down there and you can ride a couple rides. I guarantee you he's one of those guys who's going online and riding those rides virtually. It's like he's ridden Peter Pan like 400 times since the whole coronavirus is he's
overrated. Overrated that ride. Way overrated.
Well, for the wait, yes. It's a fantastic ride, but if you're not waiting an hour and a half for that sucker, no, hell no.
Way overrated, Peter Pan.
Can't even get a fast pass for that sucker. Well, listen, I hope otherwise, but it's just unfortunately that for hockey, I do believe there's a chance with basketball. Hockey, just as we mentioned, for all the reasons, it doesn't look too good. All right, speaking of hockey, because we would have been right in the middle of it, right after John Wallach's headlines, no commercials. Our bracket today, we will do something that brings us back fond memories of better times when the Boston Bruins were still playing at this time of year.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.